How are you guys? Do we need this? Can you guys hear me like this?
No. We need a mic.
We need like a lessons. Yeah. Okay. For those who don't know me, well, you don't know me. It's normal that you don't know me. My name is Abuna Gabriel from Montreal. So I'm actually very good friends with Abuna Moros and Abuna Anthony. We go a long time, all of us, all three of us. So today, I want to speak to you about something. But before I start, I want you to remind me, because I want to tell you two things. First of all, I have a dream, okay? And I'm not Martin Luther, but I have a dream, okay? I want you to remind me that I tell you that dream after, okay? Second thing, some people might get offended. I'm just telling you off the bat, okay? I like to be straightforward with people. Some people might get offended, okay? But it is what it is. Let's take it as it is, okay? In the Father, and Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. I'm going to start first with the story of Zacchaeus. You guys heard that story a billion times. But I bet you that you never looked at it in this way. Okay? So the story of Zacchaeus says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Do you guys remember anything that happened in the Old Testament with Jericho? Yeah, the walls fell. Okay, very good. What happened after that? What did Joshua say? Joshua, okay, through the Holy Spirit of God, said, whoever... said that Jericho is now cursed. And whoever builds Jericho again, he will lay the foundation of Jericho with his kids. Okay? When you look here, you'll notice somehow the story of salvation. Remember when Adam sinned? Adam and Eve sinned a long time ago, right? When Adam and Eve sinned, what happened to the earth? It was cursed. The same way as Jericho. But as Christ was walking into Jericho here, it's as if he was walking on earth. This earth a long time ago was cursed. As God is blessing Jericho with his feet, God is blessing the earth again with his incarnation from heaven down to earth. And then it goes, now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector. Any of you know what Zacchaeus mean? The name Zacchaeus, what does it mean? Please. Okay. Zacchaeus means pure. Zacchaeus means pure. So the man that God created in his own image, okay, Adam and Eve, he created them in their image. Pure, perfect. But this man, Zacchaeus, became a chief tax collector. The biggest of sinners. You guys know the tax collectors, right? Were thieves. The biggest among thieves, right? All the Jews used to hate them because they used to take money from the Jewish people to give to the Romans. But let's say they would take $1,000, they give 500 to the Romans, and then they put 500 in their pockets. They were biggest thieves. Everybody hated them. Okay? So this man that was pure became the biggest of sinners. And then it says, and he was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was. But the difference with this man, Zacchaeus, is that he wanted to see who Christ was. And he wasn't joking around. Okay, like sometimes I get a feeling I want to see Christ, I want to know God. Hell, I want to know God. But how much do you really want to know God? Do you want to know God like Zacchaeus did? Because look what he did. It says, so he sought to see Jesus, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. What does that mean, salvation-wise, if we remember the story of salvation? The fact that he was short of stature, what does that mean? انتوا بتتكلموا في قطوة ولا مش حاجة طيب الحمد لله you guys are very quiet. So what this means, it means is that if I do a billion matanias a day, if I pray 24 hours a day, if I read my Bible like all over, like throughout the weeks, if I do everything, I attend all liturgies, I am still short of the glory of God. This man wanted to see Jesus, he wanted to get close to him, he couldn't, he was of short stature. But what he had to do, as you know, verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. What does the sycamore tree represent? This should be very easy. Like there's plenty of them around the church. It means the cross. The cross is a tree. Many times in the Bible, it refers to the cross as a tree. So what it's saying, what God is saying here through the depth of this passage, it is saying that all of us are short of stature. We cannot attain heaven. We were pure, we are fallen, we're chief tax collectors, but I want to go to God, I can't. Unless I go up the tree. Meaning, through the tree, through the cross, now I can see Christ. Now I can see Jesus. Before that, I couldn't. Before that, I couldn't. But then it goes on and says, verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed up in the sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. When Christ walks around, is he free? Like, is there anybody around him? Are there people around him? People are nonstop. You know, people are annoying. You know, like imagine the Pope would come here, okay? People don't leave the Pope, don't leave the bishop. If Christ is walking around, there's hundreds of people. If I say thousands even, like when he fed the 5,000 plus the other family, there were 15,000, 20,000 people. All these people following Christ. He does not walk for a second free, except when he wants to be. So all these people, Christ is walking, all these people are touching him, and everybody wants to be healed. Everyone, the one that is poor wants money, the one that has this problem wants to be solved, all the stuff. And Christ forgets about all these people, and he looks up to Zacchaeus, and he says, you weird-looking man that is short, come down, I must eat at your house. Why? Why Zacchaeus? You have thousands of people around you. Habakkuk al-Wada'i had to be this guy. He looks so foolish, like climbing up this tree. Imagine a guy that is 45 years old, wearing a suit and tie, climbing up a tree. Makes no sense. Ishmael, why? Why him? Because Zacchaeus sought to see Christ. And he sought him for real. So I want you to imagine, as you are praying home, you're home, you're praying, okay? About all sorts of things, all sorts of problems. What you're praying about is another issue, okay, that we can discuss. But it's as if God is saying, this person is really seeking me out. This person, yani, take that prayer, I'll answer it later. This prayer, Taban, he doesn't do that, but I just want you to imagine, okay? This person is really seeking me. Come here. I will go and eat with you in your house. Then it goes, so he made haste. So Zacchaeus made haste. He hurried up and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained. So when someone follows Christ and he really wants to deeply seek him, seek a relationship with him, who complains? Everybody. Why? Because the devil cannot bear that. Anybody that is walking towards God, you'll find a lot of noise happening around him. You guys notice, you start praying, you get all sorts of ideas in your head. Start reading the Bible, all of a sudden you remember all your homework and everything else, what your mom asked you to do, et cetera, right? He doesn't leave us alone because if we seek him truly, we'll be established in Christ, have him as our foundation. And then it's so much harder for him to come and pluck us out, right? So he bugs us, he makes so much noise around us. And this is what I want to talk about today. But when they saw it, they all complained. And after this, you know the story. I'm not going to go through all the verses. Zacchaeus was so afraid that once he tasted God, he was so afraid that he was not going to have this relationship with him anymore. That when they said, they complained that he's a tax collector, he's a thief. What did he say? He said, God, I will give half my goods to the poor. So imagine a guy that has $100,000. He gives 50 grand to the poor. And he says, whoever I stole from him, I will restore him fourfold. Four times. And all this money he has from stealing. So he 50,000 to the poor, 50 times 4, 200,000, going back to the people. So he's minus what now? How is he minus what? So he has 100, he has 50 now, he gives to the poor, and he has minus 200, so minus $150,000. The guy is going bankrupt. He's saying, and someone can look at this, Zacchaeus, this is ridiculous. How can you even say this? But he says, I don't care, you don't understand. When I taste God, all the worldly matters become garbage, rubbish, like St. Paul says. Worthless, useless. You know, when, you know, since we're in Siam, you know someone that eats full every day, okay? Don't want to be sitting next to that person. But if he eats full every day, just because he doesn't know any better. Imagine why I come and I introduce to him like a triple cheese meat lover pizza. And he eats it. Will this person ever go back to full? Thank you. Thank God. Okay, you guys are alive. Never. So you see, I tasted God. All this worthless stuff is really worthless. Okay, but the point is, I want to get at today is verse 7. But when they saw it, they all complained. Why am I getting into this? Because I tried to choose the guy with the biggest nose possible. Okay, what happens, unfortunately, nowadays is that we as a church, we complain about each other. Unfortunately, I find I go into a church, at any church, and you find so many people talking about each other. So many people judging each other. Is this how God looked at it? How God designed it? In this case, people complain about Zacchaeus. Unfortunately, in our cases, we complain about each other. And what you start seeing happen, a click here, a click here, a click here, a click here. Nobody gets along. How come? Is this what God wants? Absolutely not, okay? You guys and myself also, we are not fit to judge. You know the story? The story of the widow with the two mites? So as you know, the story is a famous story, right? So this woman is going and she's giving her 2 cents, her 2 pennies, right? But before that, everybody else was going, all the rich people, and were going and putting all the change, all the money, and all the noise, you know, in the basket, like or in the box, all this money is making noise. And they look so good, these people. And this woman came and put 2 mites. And you see here, people are looking at her, and that's what happened. So I see someone coming in the church, I look at him. Like with all due respect, when we say FOB, okay? When we say FOB, it's F, okay, yeah, we think it's funny. But does the other person get hurt? Anyway, we make it a joke, and people like, it's not a big deal, right? Right? And I truly believe it's not a big deal. But all these things, when we are not on the same mindset, it causes division in the church. And the division is the work of Satan. It is not the work of God, not how God intended. But here, the point here is that God says, for all these, so we're talking about all these people, the rich people, out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. So from outside, I see this girl put 2 pennies. She didn't put anything. Like, does God really care about 2 pennies? Will it matter the 2 pennies versus the $1,000 the other guy put? But God said she put in more than all of them. Because she put in all her livelihood. Everything that she owned, she possessed, she gave. God looked at her heart, what she possessed, and said, this is it. She's the woman. And you know that our churches are alive because of people like this. Our churches, when you meet someone, you know the people that stand in the corner? They don't speak. It's because of these people that our churches are alive. You know how the world is, and taban, I have nothing against social media, I'm on Facebook myself, okay? But the idea is that the entire world is telling us, guys, you have to become social, right? So I do everything that I have to do to be as much social as possible, right? But in reality, what makes the saints? The saints are made of the people that don't talk. You know why? Because when they don't talk, they have much more time to talk to God. The people that talk all the time have no time for God. And I'll tell you a confession personally. At some point in my life, like my friends are very, very, very good people, like amazing servants, and they're beautiful. Don't get me wrong, okay? But at some point, I realized, before priesthood, I realized that my friends, as good as they are, they were wasting too much of my time. Sitting down, talking about like rubbish stuff, like useless stuff. So I limited my time with them. I cannot let people steal my time. I have to have time dedicated with God. It's good to be social. It's a beautiful thing. But I have to make sure that I give time to God. Remember the story? You all know the story? The prodigal son, right? So you guys know the story. So the son told his father, give me my inheritance. The father shared between the two sons his inheritance. And the young one went and lived, and he saw prostitutes and whatever else, and he came back to God, right? The problem with the story is the real prodigal son, which was the oldest. So the oldest, when the young man came, the oldest brother was unhappy. And look what he said. He says, so he answered and said to his father, Lord, these many years I have been serving you, I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as the son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. What's the biggest problem with this verse? Unfortunately, as you know, so the younger son, the one that left the church and came back to the church, is often not welcomed by the people in church. Right? So this guy represents me. Right? When someone walks in and I judge him, or I judge him for whatever reason, I want to judge him, thinking I'm fit for judging, but I'm absolutely not fit for judging. It's God's job. Right? But what's the biggest problem with this verse? Someone get it out for me, please. There's a huge problem with this verse. Sorry? You don't know? Anybody, أي حد, please. Yes. Hello, that's very good. You're absolutely right. So, but it's not what I'm looking for, but that's very important. Why? Because right here shows division. You are brothers. We are brothers. We are sisters in Christ. But I say son of yours. I don't know this person. You can't. It's the body of the church, is the body of Christ. You cannot cut off your arm and think everything is okay. But there's another problem here. Hello, very good. But there's something else. You're absolutely right, but there's something else. Should I say it? I'll say it. He says, 1, 2, 3, fourth line. I never transgressed your commandment. This is absolute bogus. I never transgressed your commandment. This is how we are sometimes. Because when we judge one another, we think automatically that we're better than one another. So I think that I never transgress or I don't transgress the commandment as much as the other person. So this guy was so full of it, so blinded by his own sin, he had no love whatsoever. He couldn't even see in front of him. He couldn't even see that his own brother he couldn't love. Right? And now my question, I'll skip this. My question is, I'll ask another question. Do you love God? Do you love God? طبعاً مش حدا يرد مش حدا بيرد على أي حاجة أصلاً, okay? But do you love? I want you. I'll just watch this clip, okay? And you'll see where I want to get.
Because I asked you to.
Well, yeah, I know you did, Lord, but why?
Okay, so what's the most important sentence he said? What's the most important sentence he said? It's the last one. You know what the verse says? The verse says, in Matthew 7, it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I ask?" When I ask you, do you love God? Taman, most of our reflex is yes. John says, if someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. If I say that I love God, but I hate my brother, I'm a liar. And you could have added hypocrite, you could have added whatever you wanted to add. Straightforward. I cannot say that I love God. I cannot say that I'm a Christian. God said on the Sermon on the Mountain, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. If I'm not a peacemaker, I'm not a son of God. I'm not a daughter of God. Often, it's not even that. It's not only we're not peacemakers, we cause trouble. We're troublemakers. And I come and say, "I love you, God." On what basis do you say this? Can I tell you what my dream is? Can I tell you what my dream is? My dream is to have all the churches be, and all the youth be so fiery for God. This is my dream. My dream is for all the world to be Christian Orthodox through our churches. And that's what God commands from us, right, by the way, which we'll get to in a bit. But there's no way that it's going to happen if between each other, we are breaking down each other. You know, when God says we are the body of Christ, the church, and my leg wants to go here and my left leg wants to go that way. And that's why we turn around ourselves and get to do absolutely nothing. And year passes after year after year after year and nothing happens. Because we don't have love for one another. So how can I say I love God at the end? You guys, this is the main reason why churches get stalled. And that's why I'm telling you, like, honestly, when Christ spoke to people, he offended people. And I told you, you might get offended, but it's not going to stop me from saying it. Because that's the main reason why churches get stalled. Because we don't work together. Like, there's this saying that says, if you want to run fast, run alone. If you want to run for a long time, run in a group. So when I work in groups, I go further. It's objectives I can achieve. Right? But what is your dream? What is your dream? Is your dream the same as what I dream? Is the same as what Christ dreams? Or it's like, I was just hearing in a sermon that this man's dream was to have a Harley. So he was 52 years old and had a Harley. Like, really? That's your dream? There's nothing bigger? Like, do you really think that God's will for your life is to watch TV every evening or to be on Facebook? You think that's God's will for your life? God has stuff planned for you that you can't even imagine. Seriously. To whoever wants to consider. And he has plans for the church that we can't even imagine. But at the end, whose side am I on? Am I on God's side? I have to make sure that we are working together. Okay, I'm gonna skip this because it's taking too long. The only thing I'll talk about, it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." So we read this in the Egbeya every morning, right? So it's saying we have to be worthy of the calling with which we were called, okay? So I'll get that, back to that in a second, okay? God created diversity for a reason. Okay, so this, I'm asking you to imagine, obviously this is not true, but imagine, okay, a city or a village that everybody is a doctor. They would live in tents like this because there's no engineers, no architects, there's no people to do construction. Okay, like this is here, it's like a garbage slum. Right? So any, like, imagine like a city where there's dentists and whatever else, but there's nobody to pick up the garbage. Okay? We are made to be different. God created us unique. So when I come, and God puts all these different personalities in one place, He creates this diversity. It's because if we work together, we will go far. I'm not talented in this, but I'm talented in this. Okay, do this. I'm not talented in A, but in B. Okay, do this. But we complete each other. We do not compete with each other. We complete each other. So we have to learn to work together. Like we have in Montreal, we have 5 churches in Montreal. Right? So all 5 churches have to learn to work together. Go into any diocese. In Ottawa, there are 3 churches now, possibly a 4th one coming up. We all have to learn to work together. This is how the world gets transformed, right? It says the cup here, St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, he says the cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. So he's talking about the communion, the Eucharist. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. So how do we become the body of Christ? He answers in this verse. How do we become the body of Christ? An hayat. How do we become the body of Christ? We partake of that one bread. Liturgy, Eucharist. Okay? So what, when we do, let's say the Basil, St. Basil, St. Gregory's liturgy, it starts with what? The prayer of what? Reconciliation. So God says, okay, he said it in the Bible, if you have a gift and you're going to come to offer it, but you remember, look, you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift on the altar, go reconcile with your brother and come and give the gift. So he's saying, and that's why when we commemorate during reconciliation prayer in every liturgy, we commemorate, we remember the reconciliation between heaven and earth that God did through the cross. And then it finishes with what? Greet one another with a holy kiss. So this means what? It means when if I am sitting here and someone is upset at me sitting all the way over there, I need to get up, go all the way there, and kiss them. If I do not reconcile with them, this is what it means. So every liturgy, when you're upset at someone, you're not even supposed to be taking communion. You're supposed to reconcile with him or her first, and then you partake of that one bread. Because partaking of that one bread means that you are in the body of Christ. This is the church. Do we do this? Or is this a show that we're pouring? Abuna's pulling on a show in front? No, it absolutely needs to be this way. We are the body working together. This is the Moses, right? So this is Moses imparting the Red Sea. I assume you all know this one, okay? So Moses here, okay, or in the Old Testament, the Jewish people, first, I'll ask a couple of questions. Was the salvation in the Old Testament only available to the Jews? Yes? Who says yes? In the Old Testament, is salvation only available to the Jews? Who says yes? Okay, whatever, 8 people. Who says no? 2-3 people. Okay, everybody else doesn't know. The answer, okay, I'll answer you by giving you another question. When Christ sent Jonah, the prophet, he sent it to who? To which people? Ninevites, right? Were the Ninevites Jews? Absolutely not. Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. They were Assyrians. They actually destroyed Israel, the northern kingdom, after. Okay? Salvation was not made for the Jews only in the Old Testament. It's made for the entire world. Actually, in the beginning... Okay, I'll ask another trick question. I'll test your Bible. Who is the first non-Jewish person in the Old Testament? I know I'm very annoying. Who is the first non-Jewish person in the Old Testament? Thank you, Ida. You got it. Adam. What I want to get to that. So God created, when, in the Old Testament, there was no such thing as a Jew in the beginning. Salvation was for everybody. But then when people sinned, Adam and Eve sinned, and God wanted to get the salvation out of the Jews. So he put the Jews on. Okay, and he gave them these laws for them to get the Savior out, okay, to get to the New Testament, to get to the Messiah for the salvation of the entire world. But salvation was not only for the Jews. So what was the purpose of the Jews other than getting out the Savior? They had another job they needed to do. But they failed utterly, miserably in doing it. Their job was to make all the world Jews. Their job was to be the nation that goes out to all other nations and teach them about the God of the Old Testament. And they failed miserably. What is my job in this world? Exactly the same thing. God gave me so much grace to be born in a church as a Christian, even more in an Orthodox church, and even more in a Coptic Orthodox church. And God, on the judgment day, he will ask me, Abuna, what did you do? You have given so much grace because I wanted you to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. I wanted you to go out and get all these people to me. And so is every other Christian. This is our job. This is our job. Why are we failing? Because we don't love one another. We're incapable of getting there because there's no bond between us. How much can I really accomplish alone? But as a church, remember the church of the first century? How it started? How powerful it was? If you actually read the book of Acts, you'll see that every chapter, the first, I don't know how many chapters, it says, and all the disciples were there with the one accord. All of them were there, united. That's what makes the difference, whether we make it or break it. We have to get that. I think I'm done. This is just God being disappointed, Yani, if ever we don't change it. Hopefully that's not how he's looking right now. But you guys have to understand, this is not something that Abuna does or the bishop or the pope does. This is something that the congregation does. You guys do that. Unfortunately, we have very bad habits. Sometimes you see your parents or that talk about each other, talk about like all this stuff, and it's nonsense. And how can I be Christian? I don't understand. But you guys are our hope. Right? You guys are the future of the church. You guys can change things around. You guys can be truly the light of the world. And that's where I want to get at. This is where I want to get at. Because I'll be asked one day, Abuna, what did you do? And I'll answer him, I did this and that, whatever. Right? But we'll all be asked that question. Any questions? طبعاً ما فيش أي questions. Yes, thank the Lord. Alhamdulillah.
What's your name?
Michelle. I'll remember that name. I wouldn't put this really under diversity. This would be that some people need to be more focused and give up proper repentance. Okay? Because people themselves choose to cut themselves off from the body of God. And if someone chooses that, it's his or her choice, طبعا. But we have to serve these people, طبعا, right? But I wouldn't put that under diversity. Okay. But then these are the people that we have to look for. And that's the purpose, you understand? So when we all work together, so we all like have our different talents, different gifts, and but we all bonded with the spirit and love, we can go and get these people. And we go get Canadians, and we can go get everybody. Most people that look at our church, at the Coptic Orthodox Church, they say this church is a huge treasure, but you guys are keeping it hidden. Nobody's sharing the treasure. But we have to learn to share the treasure. Our parents didn't have a choice because of all the Muslim Christian stuff in Egypt, but we have to change. You guys have to be leaders. You guys have to change things. You are the generation that will make things happen. Seriously, I'm not joking. You are the generation that will make things happen. You grew up here. You know the system here. There's nothing keeping you from preaching. So do it. Go ask Abuna and under the guidance, do it. If you don't change, who will change? Does God want me to just continue in the same way I have been taught? Taban, from an Orthodox faith, of course. But other than this, there's so many ways to get to people. So definitely need to work on that. Yes, Habib. Mm-hmm. Of course not. Yeah. And it's not, you don't, Abuna Fadl. Okay, the question was that we live in a secular society, and many people do not want to know about God, so, and I cannot force anything upon someone. But this is not your job. So your job is not to change hearts. Your job is to throw the seed. Okay? But I can tell you, there's one person your age that went to, you guys don't have Sejab here, but let's say that would be grade 12. Okay? And there was this Chinese girl, and she spoke to her, and she ended up looking for God. And she's amazing. She's an amazing girl. Reads her Bible, prays. She's not baptized yet. Okay. But just sharing. Another guy, he was in high school. He spoke to a friend in school. The friend was already Christian, and he was Catholic, which is okay. But he just told him, and he came to see us and stuff, and we just anointed him, and he confesses regularly, attends liturgy regularly. He comes to Bible study sometimes. He's very thorough. Very, very repentant guy, just by speaking to people. So your job is to throw seeds around. First of all, that you have to change yourself. I cannot be speaking with my mouth when I myself, I'm not doing what I'm saying. So I change myself. I become the light of the world. And God is the one that changes. But if I'm willing to change, He will change. And all I have to do is throw seeds. So sometimes when this person in front of me is really, really and you block, doesn't want to hear anything, your objective in that case is to make him doubt what he believes. So learn stuff. There's a lot of stuff that Christianity is proven, okay, is bulletproof historically. Okay? If you guys search it carefully, you'll see Christianity is bulletproof. Okay? The Bible is bulletproof versus any other religion. It doesn't even compare. Okay? Anyways, you just take it for granted for now, but this is truly how it is. Atheism is a joke. But people just don't want to reject God. So I look at what the weakness are, and I just make him doubt. So you could be a chain or a link, in the chain. You can be link 15 out of 30. Maybe the guy will be converted at link 30. But you're not link 30, you're link 15. But you have to do that link 15. Make him doubt. But more importantly, I change myself. When I change myself, I become the light of the world, right? So when I'm walking, like Christ was walking, he was teaching stuff, everybody was puzzled, eyes opened. What is he saying? He's different. When I want to fit in the world, what I want, I say it's okay, everybody does it. You're not Christian. Guys, we're not Christian because we're baptized, huh? We're Christians because we are baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit, and we have a relationship with Christ first and foremost, and we partake of the sacraments, and we follow the commandments, and the commandments are made for our own happiness. FYI, Annie. There's a question in the back? Yeah. You are absolutely correct, 100%. And if we don't do this, then our preaching is in vain, right? But in that specific example, what I'm saying, I'm assuming that he's imagining someone that is very intellectual, that wants to know intellectually, okay? So when I mean to make him doubt, I don't mean in a bad way, or in an aggressive way, in an offensive way. I mean with all gentleness, with all love, and all care, but I pointed to that person the other arguments out there. Because at the end of the day, the arguments for Christianity are much stronger than anything else. Right? So that's what I mean. But at the end of the day, you are absolutely right that we preach with our actions, but the Bible also says that we have to preach with our words. Okay? So the Bible says, St. Paul says, how would they believe without a preacher? I think it's in Romans 10. And how will they preach? How will they hear without the person Yanni speaking? I can't remember exactly what it says, so I'm paraphrasing, but I think it's in Romans 10. Well, we have to speak. But in all love and our care, and our actions have to speak with our words. You understand what I'm saying? So I cannot speak stuff, but my actions say the opposite. So I cannot say, oh, we have to love, and Christ teaches us to love our enemies, but at the same time, I can't even love my brothers and sisters in church. That's what I mean. But we also have to speak up. They're not one against another, Yani. They both go together, is what I'm trying to say. But as long as it's with love, Yani, you're right. Tina, how are you, Tina? What do you guys think? The question is, the Bible teaches us to preach in season and out of season. What does out of season mean? Tina, do you want to say something? Is there something you want to get out? Out of season, it pretty much means that I have to be ready to preach all the time. So whether I'm ready to preach or not ready to preach. So the idea is that I always have to be full. You know when someone, let's say you're a Sunday school servant, and someone comes to tell you an hour before, or you just, the person that's supposed to give the class gives you a call and tells you, I'm very sick, I can't come. Can you give the lesson instead of me? Are you full enough to be able to preach out of season? Because this is out of season. I'm not ready. I always have to be ready. Always have to be ready. So I really, as Christians, guys, as Christians, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And like, it works better in Arabic, so I'll say it in Arabic. So, you know in Arabic, we say like the saint, we call him Kiddis. صح? Kiddis, صح? Lil Kiddis, you're a Kiddis. عشان قعد مع القدوس كتير. So the saint is a saint because he spent a lot of time with the Holy One, God. The more time I spent with God, the more I become holy. He is holy, I become holy. I reflect his image. I am full of the Spirit. I am therefore ready in and out of season. Yes, Habib. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, sometimes, I'm sure not, that's not what you meant, but sometimes we grab on this thing that I have to preach with my actions as a reason not to talk. And I find comfort in not talking and therefore use this. But the reality is that I have to do this and that. Absolutely. But again, going back to her point, you cannot be talking when you're not living. So I have to start by living. And before loving my enemy and my neighbor, I have to love my brother and sister. Right. Michael, you have a question? Anybody else? Abuna. Yes, Habib. I think that everybody needs to be the light of the world, but everybody according to his own way, because there's diversity and God has given gifts to different people, right? But I at least need to be the light of the world in whatever way I can be. So at the end, it goes back to my relationship with God. So if someone is mute, well, he can't preach like with words, right? I mean, someone, if I speak different languages, like, there's people, by the way, that's like an old grandmother, for example, that wants, loves Christ so much and wants the people to love God, and she can't preach with her words. She does little actions here and there, but her heart is yearning. It has to start with this, that our hearts have to be yearning. And the more I'm close to God, the more I see how much He loves me and loves everybody else, I feel sad for these people. I have no choice. It's like a reflex. I have no choice but to preach. Right? So at the end of the day, I sit down. Often we think that we don't have talents, but God has given us talents. And God has given us, each one of you, He gives you a personality. And in this personality that we often, unfortunately, we often try to mask our personality. I'll just give you an example. You know when someone, for example, you go talk to someone and you want to fit in, right? So this person likes to play soccer, right? So you tell them, oh yeah, I like to play soccer too. And you like soccer, but whatever, it's so-so. Then you go to the other person, he likes to play basketball. Oh, me too, I like to play basketball. All you're doing is trying to fit in. So all you're doing is that you're going to the one person, you're putting on a mask. Then you leave him, you remove the mask, you go to another person, you put a different mask. And you continue all your life doing this and you've forgotten that you have an actual, nice, beautiful face. That God created you with it. And God gave you a personality and He gave you gifts. And He wants you to take on that personality because that personality matches exactly His will for you on earth. And He tells you, if you follow in the footsteps that I have laid down before you, you will shine with your own personality. And you will not be any happier than this because of your relationship with God. And because there's nothing better than fulfilling God's will. Trust me. It's like the triple cheese meat lover pizza. Okay. But this is how it is. But when I say, no, forget my personality, forget this, and I'm just keep on putting masks all over the place all the time, then what am I doing? You know, did you ever see a picture on Facebook with someone crying in it? Do you ever put a picture of you crying or upset on Facebook? Nobody does. Everybody's smiling and joyful and happy. Do you think people are all joyful, happy, and smiling? Absolutely not. We just put on masks all the time. Be yourself. But if you are yourself, and you want to have a relationship with God, God will guide you differently, and He will bless you with gifts that you couldn't even imagine. Right? At the end of the day, I ask God, what do you want from me? And I listen to Him, and I have to like get my ears used to listen to God. And He'll guide you. And always take the advice of further confession. Yes, Abun. God loves you. Like I said before, God put the commandments for our own happiness. So God knows the devil will act. God knows people will talk. God knows there's going to be a lot of noise and gibberish around me. So God gave me one simple commandment. He told me, forgive your brother, forgive your sister. Right? What's your name, Habib? Danny. So imagine me and Danny get into a fight. Right? And then he beats the whatever out of me, okay? Because I didn't have, like, whatever, okay? And then I tell myself, we're both very angry at each other. And then he says, I will forgive Abuna. And I did not forgive Danny. So every time we meet up, I'm very angry inside. I'm boiling inside. I lose my peace. I can't pray in liturgy. I can't focus on any topic. I can't do anything at all. But him, he's very peaceful. He's very okay. Who's better off? Me or Danny? Danny. Because he fulfilled God's commandment. God's commandments are there is for our own happiness. He designed us, created us. He told you, I've created you. This is how you work. Follow me. Follow these rules. You'll be happy. Right? But at the end of the day, there's other like things that can be done. And this person should be speaking to the other person, I believe. Sometimes we're often afraid of this, to confront each other. It's not about confrontation in a way that it's bad, but just to simply explain that I'm hurt by these things. Like a long time ago, I had when we were youth, we had a specific friend that I love very dearly, Yani. This friend, we kept telling him this joke for years, 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 and he was smiling all the time. After years, he came and told us, by the way, it really bothers me when you tell me this. I'm like, oh, really? So we stopped. After years, we should have said it from the first day. Man, what are you waiting for? Right? So we should speak up in love and care. And sometimes, like the Bible says, well, if the other person can't understand, doesn't want to understand, then I can get the advice or the interference of the church. So I go see Abuna. Right? But at the end of the day, if all of this stuff doesn't work, then at the end of the day, my only possibility is to forgive. And I pray for that person. And I can also imagine that it's like I'm partaking of God's suffering. And God will give me grace in these things very much. The people that are hurt, God is very close to them. What does He say? What verse says this? Come to me, all of you who... are burden heavy laden, right? And I will give you rest. God is very close to these people. So I end up turning to Him. What's He going to say? Anything else? Anybody else? Abuna.
Thank you, Abuna, very much. Welcome all St. George and us and me together. Finally, we have a pizza downstairs. You will find some of kids. Don't scare. They have sleepover. And they are playing downstairs. Don't bother them because maybe they will eat you. Take care about it. Okay. Let's pray and go downstairs.
In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I thank you, my dear Lord, for everything, concerning everything and everything. I thank you, O Lord, for allowing me to be here today, O Lord, amongst my brothers, the fathers, And amongst, Lord, your churches and your youth. Your youth, Lord, look to be so great, Lord, and so hopeful in you. I ask that you may grant us all, Lord, to live a life that is worthy of being called a Christian. A life, O Lord, that is beautiful in your eyes, a sweet-smelling aroma. Grant us to be leaders. Grant us to change, O Lord, the world. As you have said that we can do all things through you, and we truly believe this. Let us tell ourselves, Lord, let us look in the mirror. Transform us, O Lord. Grant us, O Lord, to go on from glory to glory, all for the glory of your holy name, and keep us away from vainglory. Look upon us with mercy and compassion, Lord. Heal the brokenhearted through intercession of Holy Mother St. Mary, through intercession of St. George, St. Anthony, and all the saints that feast since the beginning. We ask, Lord, to hear us when we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forevermore. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen.